And what I wanted to do is today just give us a brief just sharing of this topic that God has been kind of putting on my heart over the last week or so, and let that lead us into a time of prayer and worship, both for ourselves as we end this season in our church and we look forward to the next season, but also for the city, especially with the recent events that are going on. So what I want us to do is turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And we're just going to talk about one verse tonight. We're just going to focus on one verse. And as we focus on this one verse, we're going to think through the author's lens. This is from the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah the prophet talking about just something that he has on his heart about God and to the people of Israel during that time. So before we get started into this passage, I just wanted to ask just a quick couple questions for us this evening. First question is, how many of you are just a little bit tired? Raise your hand. I need some participation. Okay, that's almost everyone. How many of you are just a little bit tired from the day? It's kind of the end of the evening. I would say everyone feels that. How many of us were just tired in general from this season? Also, almost, 70, 80% of us. And I would say, for many of us, it's not a new feeling. I think some of us, we expected the summer to be a little bit more reasonable, low-key, relaxing, whatever it might be. But for whatever reason, it's been more difficult, more taxing, more draining. And for myself, I felt that a lot this summer. And I know whenever I say, I'm tired, everyone in my life, they're like, you're always tired. You're always tired. Whenever you have an opportunity, you just fall asleep everywhere, right? And I'm like, okay, yes, that's true. Because even since undergrad, I think there's a photo here. This was me. This is my first year, my year one in undergrad, my freshman year, and some of my friends in a dorm room. And I guess they were, I don't know what they were doing, but I was dead tired. It was only probably, I think, 12 or 1 a.m., and I was already knocked out. And they were always, they would always say, why are you always so tired? And I realized, later I found out after I graduated, I actually have a mild case of narcolepsy. So I just fall asleep wherever, whenever, for whatever reason. But I didn't realize that until after I graduated from university. I was like, oh, everything now makes sense. Why I always fall asleep in class and all that kind of stuff. But I can't blame everything on narcolepsy, right? I can't blame everything. And I realized that there are certain seasons of my life where I just feel extra drained, extra tired, extra exhausted, extra overwhelmed by so many things. And I think I catch myself in those moments and I ask myself, where is that abundant life that we talk about so much? Where is that joy? Where is that energy? Where is that invigorating feeling that God promises day in and day out? Throughout Scripture, He says, I will give you life and life abundant. And in those moments, even this past summer, I'm just like, God, where is that? And I'm wondering if many of us, we feel like that over the last few weeks, maybe over the last few months. Some of us were here on exchange. Others of us have been just working, and it just feels like the grind over and over again, day in and day out. Some of us are on vacation. We're like, hallelujah, Lord, I'm so thankful and energized because I'm getting 10 hours of sleep a night. For those of you who are in that position, just have some compassion on the rest of us. But anyways, yeah, during this season, I found myself just wanting to run away, just wanting to escape. And as I was thinking about this verse just came to mind. I just felt like as we think about, and even as we pray for this city, what would it be like for us to be a church that is reinvigorated, renewed, refreshed in everything that we do, no matter, regardless of what the circumstances are going on? What would that be like for us to be a church and a body of Christ that could shine that kind of light? Not just morally, but even the way that we live, the energy that we have to all people. And so I want us to look at this passage, this one verse, Isaiah 40, 31, and hopefully you've turned to it by now. And I want us to actually read it together, and just read it together, and then I'll just make some comments on that verse together. So let's read just verse 31, Isaiah 40, in the English Standard Version, if you could read it together with me, starting in verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there are three things that I just want to mention as we look at this verse. And there are three aspects of this idea of people who are renewing their strength. Because so many of us, we might feel like I'm drained, I'm exhausted, I'm tired. There are things that don't really compute when we see someone. Who are these people that renew their strength? So there are three things. Number one is I want to answer the question, who are those who need to renew their strength? Number two, what does it mean to renew their strength? And how can we be people who renew their strength? Okay, so who is it that needs to renew their strength? What does it mean to renew their strength? And how can we be people that renew their strength? So the first question is, who are those who need to renew their strength? Who are those who need to renew their strength? Well, we see in verse 31, it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah was talking to the Israelites of that time, and the context is that the Israelites, Isaiah was a prophet telling the Israelites that they were going to be in exile. That because they had disobeyed God for so many years, since they had wandered through the desert for 40 years, they disobeyed Moses, they disobeyed God, they disobeyed the judges, they disobeyed, even when they went into the promised land, they disobeyed the kings that ruled them. And so then eventually God was said, you know, I'm sick and tired of your disobedience, you're going to go into exile in Babylon. And so now Isaiah is writing about that time where he said, you're going to be in exile. Babylon is going to come take you away from this promised land, and you're going to be in this time away from God's presence. And when we see this kind of idea of these people who are renewing their strength, we're realizing that he's referring to a time that the Israelites understood that they were strong. He's talking to a people that they at one time had some strength. They remember those times back in the day in the time of King Solomon or the time of King David, when they would conquer all of their enemies. They would defeat all the peoples. They had the richest kingdom in the whole world in that time. But Isaiah, we notice that he's promising that those people shall renew their strength, even though they used to be in prosperity, but now they're in such despair. We notice that phrase, shall renew their strength, in the Amplified Version, it says, will gain new strength and renew their power. In the New Living Translation, it says, will find new strength. So it's something that once was, but they need a new refreshing of it. Something that they used to have, but they need to get more of it because they don't have it anymore. It has to come from a new source, a new energy, a new hope. And now they're weary. And so when we think about where the Israelites are at, we get a glimpse of why it is that they need to renew their strength. I think many of us, when we think about, you know, getting strength, most of the time when we're tired, we often assume the first conclusion is, oh, I was just working really hard. How many of us, you're working for the first time, raise your hands. Students who are interns, how tiring is it to work an 8 or 9 hour day? Exhausting, right? You're like, wow. Now respect for those who are working. Let's give a hand for all focus people here. All right, praise God. It's hard. It's difficult. You put in 8, 9 hours, whether you sit in front of a computer or you're doing food service or whatever it is that you do, it's tiring, it's exhausting. And you're like, oh man, my tiredness is because I've just been working so hard. But focus, how many know you get used to it, amen? You get used to it. Your body adapts, you get conditioned to it. Just wait. Your internship has an expiry period, but once you start working, you've been working for the rest of your life. Just wait. Some of you are excited. But is that the real reason why some of us are so tired and so drained? Just because we're working hard? Because some of us, you put in a hard day's work and you still feel excited or overjoyed. Some of you have felt that, where you're working really hard, but at the end of the day, you still feel so fulfilled and so rejoicing and so overwhelmed by just the privilege you've had. Some of us have experienced that. So that's not what Isaiah is talking about. He's not referring to a group of people that just worked really hard and now they're tired and they just need to renew their strength. They just need to get a good night's rest. I'm wondering if what he's talking about is that those who had hope for something, wanted something, desired something, were promised something, but they didn't end up getting it. And even though they tried time and time and time and time again, they would constantly be pushed down or denied. Those were the Israelites. They were longing for this promised land. They were longing to go back. But time and time again, it just felt like it was out of their grasp. This real connection, real relationship with God. Some of us, it's hard to relate. But I'm just asking, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of us, we have siblings? Some of us, those of you who don't have siblings, we're sorry, but it's okay. But just try to understand this analogy for now. Those of us whose siblings, if you were the younger sibling, you might understand. Oftentimes you wanted something. You desired something. You wanted to play with your older sibling. You wanted that thing. You wanted that experience. But what happened every single time you got close to it? What did your older sibling do? Bam! Knock you down, right? Take that away. Bully you. Hurt you. Do whatever. If my brother ever listened to this, I'm sorry. You know, Kyle, I'm sorry. But you know what that feels like, and what happens when that happens? You get desperate. You're in despair. You're like, it's not fair. Some of us, we felt that before. And you get so discouraged, you get to the point where you're like, Mom, Dad, you know, this person so-and-so is treating me this way, and you're so distraught, and you feel like your life is over because this older person who's only a year older than you or maybe a couple years older than you is totally ruining your life. And you feel like life is over, right? Now, some of us, we felt that way to the point of, you know, like, what is going on with my life, with my situation? I have to live with this person for the rest of my life. And you know, we look back on it, we joke about those times. But in that moment, you feel like, wow, you know, life is so hard. It's so not fair. Why are things going the way that they're going right now? I don't know how many of us, we feel like that in our lives day to day, every single day. Where it's not an older sibling who's putting you down. But it just feels like life, the world, and everything else is constantly the block, the obstacle between you and the things that you want, the things that you hope for. You wanted that job. You wanted that internship, but you just can't get it. You wanted to somehow break through this problem that you're trying to solve or get that promotion, but it's just not working out for whatever reason. You thought the summer was supposed to be this season of just being able to slow down and enjoy, but for whatever reason, God just has other plans, and you have all these things to do. You're like, God, why? Why is it that every single time I feel like I'm going to just take the step, but you just somehow deny me? How many of us were getting to that point where we're hopeless and we just want to give up? I'm wondering if we're realizing or we're at that point where we are the ones who need renewing. We are the ones who are in those situations. We are the ones who have this perspective that we're constantly behind. We're constantly not getting to the place that we want to get. And whether it's circumstances or people or relationships, whatever, there's something holding us back from really experiencing the renewal that God wants us to experience. I think some of us, we're deceiving ourselves. We're in this insane kind of cycle where we're just trying, God, I'm going to try again, I'm going to try again and try again. But one day, I'm wondering if God is saying, you know, wake up. Wake up. The way that you're doing this day in and day out is not going to change the situation. Insanity, oftentimes we say in our church, the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Some of us, we find ourselves in that kind of position. But I'm wondering if God is trying to wake us up and to say, hello. You might be the person that needs some kind of renewal. A new thing. Not the old strength, not the old source that you had, but a new thing that God wants to do. I'm wondering if we will see ourselves as the people who need God to renew our strength. The second thing now, what does it mean to renew our strength? What does it mean to renew our strength? Many of us, we have a very interesting view of what it means to depend on God for strength. We feel like depending on God is some kind of like magic prayer. Or, you know, God, I'm trying to do this thing. I'm trying to get this place. And God is the one who's supposed to give us everything that we need in order to get to that place. We have all different sorts of views and ideas of what it means to get strength from God. But my suggestion is that too much of our depending on God is actually under the guise of self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. So there are two things as we talk about what does it mean to renew our strength. There are two things I want to share that are not renewing our strength. What is it not to renew our strength in God's eyes? And that will hopefully help us to understand what does it mean to renew our strength. The first thing is that it's not just God helping us to go where we want to go. It's not just helping us to where we want to go. There's this image in this verse 31, this imagery of being mounting up with wings like eagles. Mounting up with wings like eagles. And I don't know if any of you have seen like a video. Has anyone seen an eagle in real life? It's like majestic, right? It's like, it just looks effortless. You know, they just have their wings and they like never flap it compared to like other animals like that, like chickens or something like that. And you know, when eagles fly, they fly in the air currents, right? They'll take a gust of wind, and then they'll just kind of be like this chilling, and then just kind of go like this. And they're just like, wow, it just looks effortless. And most of us were like, you know what? I want to be like that, God. I need that air current. I need that strength so that I can go where I want to go. And most of us, when we love this verse, we're like, yeah, I want to mount up on wings like eagles. Or we sing that song, you know, like, God, stand, you know, I want to. On eagle's wings, you know, just give me that energy, give me that strength so I can do what I want to do. So I can get that thing that I want to get. And sure, I think many of us, when we get that burst of energy, it just renews us and invigorates us. But I'm wondering how many of us, we realize, you know what, the real purpose or the real thing that God gives us is not really the strength or energy just to do whatever it is we want. It's not just to go wherever we want, to do whatever we want. Like, if it was not for the air currents, it's not like the eagle can just do whatever and go wherever he wants to go. He's still constrained, he's still limited by the air current that is out there. If a hurricane decides to come in, what's going to happen? That eagle's going to die. Possibly. God wasn't just about allowing the Israelites to do whatever they wanted to do. In fact, whatever he wanted, many times he forced them to do things that they didn't want to do, like going into exile, for example. But what God is trying to get at in this passage is he's providing the perspective that everything that we do, all the energy that he gives to us, the purpose is really so that we can go in his direction. How do we know this? Isaiah chapter 40 has how many verses? 31 verses. Before verse 31, what happens? We will be amiss if we did not look at those previous verses. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to give us a sample in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 25. Starting in verse 21, it says, "Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world. He brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root. When he blows on them, they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal?" asks the Holy One. This is the passage. And the rest of the verses above and before are the same thing of how big, how amazing, how holy God is compared to us as small little people. What does he say here? Even in verse 24, he says, when he blows on them, they wither, the wind carries them off like chaff. So God could do whatever he wants. The wind, it could be used to sustain us, to let us fly like eagles where we feel free. But equally, it could be used to destroy us, to totally take us to somewhere that we don't want to go. This reminds us of even Job's encounter with God. God was patient with Job. For 40 chapters, he let Job complain accuse God, do certain things, say certain things that were offensive. And then at the end of the book of Job, what does God do? He says, you don't even know. Speak like a man. Did you know all the things that I did? Did you know all the heavens and all the things that I've done in creation? What is God's point? He's there to humble us, to realize, you know what? We're not in control. The reason why we get strength from God is not for ourselves. It's not for our own agendas. It's not for our own purposes. God gives us strength because he wants us to go in his direction. He wants us to go for his purposes. It's not for whatever we want on our own. So I'm wondering, when was the last time when we asked for God's strength, we realized, you know what? Actually, God, I've been going in my own direction. I need to change directions to go in your direction. When was the last time we said, God, I repent? And you're, God, I need help, and I'm desperate, and I need strength. And then as we repent, we cry out, and we have a good worship session, we go off and we do this very same thing that God told us not to do. That shows we genuinely did not actually repent. It shows something about our hearts where we didn't actually think that we were going in our own direction. We somehow deceived ourselves into thinking that God is on our agenda. But we're misguided. Maybe what God is showing us is that there's something that we're missing, an area of our lives that we're disobedient, that we're not in line with who he is. To this person, I'm trying to pray for this person. I'm doing announcements for life. Come on, God. Come on, I'm reminding people for refreshments every week. Why is it so hard? Some of us are like, God, I'm trying to reach out to my colleagues. I'm praying for them, God. Why aren't you giving me the strength? And we spiritualize these things because deep in our hearts, really it's for us, our own performance, people pleasing, so that we can look better. It's really not for God. I'm wondering what would happen if we actually said, you know what, God, I'm going to reorient so that I could be on your track instead of mine. That he would give us the strength to do his will. Of course he would. He's that kind of father. So it's not just God giving us whatever we want so we could do our own thing. But it's also not just sitting around and letting God do all the work. So many of us, when we think about God and prayer, and we love these verses, right, that say things like, nothing is impossible with God. You could do all things through him who strengthens you. Great. Sit back, relax, enjoy, let God do everything. How many of us, we have that kind of mentality or we've thought that before? And I don't know if this, does this work in your real relationships? Like, if you're asking your friend for help with homework, let's say, or let's say you're asking your colleague for help with a task or responsibility that you have at work. Let's say your boss gave something, you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this, I need help. You ask your colleague, relax, put your feet up on the desk, I'll give you a spa experience, and then I'll do all your work for you. Wouldn't that be amazing? Unrealistic though, right? Unrealistic. How many of you, your friends would actually just, okay, yeah, don't worry about it, just go to sleep, I'll do your homework for you. Some of you might have done that for your friends before. I don't know, God bless your heart. Or how many of your parents, you said, you know what, mom, dad, I really can't, I'm not able to get through this. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it, I'll just do it for you. I mean, some of you might have been spoiled beyond belief by your parents. But if you have a loving father, a friend, coach, a colleague who really cares for you, and you ask them for help, and they want the best for you, what are they going to do when they ask you for help? Or when you ask them for help. They're not going to just do it for you. They're going to take you, they're going to help you, and they're going to say, hey, let's do it together. Let me support you in this, but I still want you to think through it. Still want you to learn. I still want you to grow. Still want you to persevere through that difficulty or whatever hard problem that you have to be able to work through. I wonder if we see God like this, or we see depending on God as like, you know what, God, you just do everything and I don't have to do anything anymore. In these verses, we see it says, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Did God ever say, stop running? Stop walking? No, he never said that. He never said, stop doing what you're doing. But those who renew their strength are the ones who are still running, still walking. But the difference is, as they run, as they walk, God gives them the strength so that they will not be weary, so that they will not faint. I'm wondering if some of us, we would reorient our minds to realize, you know what? God giving us our strength is to help us to actually persevere, to endure through the things that we're going through right now. To push through. To say, you know what, God, even though I don't want to go to work today, I'm going to go. Even though it's so hard, even though I don't want to deal with my colleagues or my boss, I'm still going to do that. Even though it's hard to love my family, my siblings, my friends, my classmates, you know what? I'm going to still love them. Man, God, my LCG is driving me up the wall. But you still meet them. Because you're like, yeah, I'm trying to love them. I'm still going to pray for them. God, I believe God is going to change my heart. Colossians 1, verse 11, the Amplified Version, it says, we pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to his glorious might. And let's read this together. To attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. What are we strengthened and invigorated for? So that we can sit around? No. So that we can have endurance. So that we can persevere. So that we can have patience. So that we can have joy as we persevere through the things that we're going through. That's why in other verses it says, count it all joys, brothers and sisters, when you face various trials of various kinds. Because those trials produces what? Perseverance. Produces steadfastness in our lives. Let's stop asking for God to take things away so that we don't have to deal with it anymore. Let's ask God for the strength so that we can continue on the things that he wants us to do. Last thing is, how can we be people that renew their strength? How can we actually be these people that can renew their strength? The key word in this passage at the very beginning says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord or for the Lord. Other translations in the NLT, that word wait is translated as trust. That word means trust. What does it mean to trust someone? What is it? Because waiting implies trust. For you to wait for something, you're dependent on someone else. Your weight is on someone else. We talked about waiting this past Sunday in the book of Titus, where we needed to wait on God's glory. But I'm wondering how many of us, our trust and the waiting and what we put our weight on is really God and God alone. This idea of waiting, when we put our trust on something, it means as you put your full weight. So theoretically right now, all of you put your trust in the chairs that you sit in. If you didn't, you would not be sitting there. Some of us, we put our weight on the jobs that we have. Some of us, we put our weight on the relationship, the quality of relationships that we have, the standard of friendships that we think that will satisfy us. Some of us, we put our weight in our futures. What kind of salary that we're going to have? What kind of title that we'll attain to? Whatever it is that we put our weight on, I'm wondering if we would shift our trust to God instead of ourselves, that would be totally different, the way that God will strengthen us. Because it says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. It's not your job, it's not your career, it's not your friends that are going to somehow re-energize you so that you have all this hope and energy. How many of us, we put our hope, we put our faith in people, in career opportunities, in different options, on internships, in classes, in grades, and we are sorely disappointed every single time. I'm wondering, when would we put our faith and our trust in God? God never fails. God never changes. He never moves. He's always the same. If we put our trust in that, why would he not give us that hope, that consistent and constant energy that we need to trust into him? Some of us, you know, I think we've been very distraught and terrified by the different violence that's happened, especially in Yulong recently. Some of we've just been hurting by all the things that we see on the news. Some of us, we've been interacting with a lot of colleagues and coworkers who have experienced some of these things. And when we think of some of these things, it causes us to be anxious. It causes us to, you know, sometimes just want to escape, want to run away, want to hide. Some of us want to take things into our own hands. But sometimes, you know, even though we say, you know, God, I'm praying, and some of us, we're losing hope. Some of us are saying, God, I don't know how much longer I can wait. Why isn't it justice happening the way that I imagine it to happen? Why are things going the way that they're going? And we want to take things into our own hands. We're saying, God, I can't wait anymore. Even though you might not say anything, you might not do anything, we're thinking those things in our minds. I'm wondering if God is challenging us to learn to wait on Him, to trust that He is the ultimate judge of all things. Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How many of us, we have this perspective that, you know what, ultimately God is the judge of all things in eternity. Regardless of what people do day in and day out, will you let that determine how you act? Will you let the news, will you let politics, will you let violence change how you live out your faith, how you love people, how you pray for people, how you engage with people on a day-to-day basis? Will you let despair creep into your mind because you're saying, you know what, everything just right now going on, it just is horrible? Or will you be able to say, you know what, God, you're the king of the universe, you're the ultimate judge of the universe. I don't know how all things are going to be resolved. I don't know how justice is going to be served, but God, you are the ultimate judge. Because you are the ultimate judge, you know what, God? I know my responsibility on this earth today is to love. And no matter how much evil, no matter how much wrong, no matter how much stuff happens out there, that my responsibility is to overcome evil with good. So love those who are hurting. Love those who are offending. Love those who are enemies in my sight. What would it be like if we could engage people? And don't assume everyone in your office or your classmates have the same view you do. You would be surprised. What would it be like for you to be able to say, you know what, even though we have differing views, let me engage with you, let me talk with you. I want to challenge some of us. Some of us were so afraid to bring up the topic of conversation. But how many of us you would realize, you know what, this is an amazing opportunity to talk with people that, you know, we don't really have a good relationship with, but we can actually go across the bridge or the border, whatever, to really love on someone that is different from us. To show them that it's not politics, it's not anything that defines us, it's Christ who defines us. I've been so thankful just for times with my colleagues over this past week because as I shared before, it's been really hard to engage with some of my colleagues because most of them are local Hong Kong. And most of them just speak Cantonese in the office, and it's hard for me to understand. So it's, you know, usually I feel a little bit excluded from some of the conversations. Recently, we've had some colleagues from mainland China just join us, and they're totally oblivious about the whole situation, but they're in for a shock. You know, they're learning a lot. And it's in these moments that as we're talking, we're sitting around at a table, we're able to now just discuss and talk, and I've just been able to ask questions. And I've just been asking, like, what do you think about the situation? What are your views? What are your opinions? How has it affected you, your family? And I'm just so blessed because instead of, you know, I think I'm like really tense in that moment because I'm like, there's a someone from mainland China who just came like a couple days ago next to like three or four people who are like local Hong Kong. And, you know, like sometimes during meetings, they're very passionate about what they participated in the recent weeks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Something's going to break out. And I'm just kind of sitting on myself, okay, let's keep the conversation civil. But you know what? Wow, it's incredible. I'm seeing as they're talking with one another, you know, they're not treating one another as enemies. We're able to have conversation. And one of the amazing things for me that I've been so blessed by is I actually feel more connected with some of these colleagues in ways that I've never felt connected before. And I've been able to share more about my life and that my likes and my dislikes. I learned more about my colleagues in the last week and a half than I've been able to learn about for the last 2 or 3 years. And not that, you know, of course the things that have happened, it's not that those things are good, but God has somehow used the events recently so that at least in my sphere of influence, that I've been somehow able to engage people. And I'm hoping that I'm able to someday share my faith with them to say, you know what, there's a greater hope that I have, that no matter what goes on, that I want you to know about this Jesus Christ that can give this hope greater than any other hope that is in this world. Because I know, and they shared, some of them shared, you know, that we have no hope for this place. And some of those colleagues that I have, they're like, you know what, I'm going to move out. I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to go to Australia. Because there's better hope there. But in my mind, and we all know this, you know, there's no more hope in Australia and Canada than in Hong Kong. God is our ultimate hope. Christ Jesus is our ultimate hope. Just because you run away doesn't mean things are going to get better. And I'm growing in love for my colleagues through this situation too, you know. I'm saying, God, how much do I really love and care for the people that I work with every single day so that I would be willing to share something with them? Not because I'm so awesome or great, but because I just was somehow blessed to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm wondering if we would see this as an opportunity to engage with the people around us and not be so afraid of what they're going to think or what they're going to say, but because we love, because we care, that we will be able to be lights in this place, in this city. I'll share two more verses from Psalm 27:10. The New Living Translation says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. It takes guts to wait. It's hard to wait. It's difficult to wait. Especially in the society that values efficiency. The faster things done, the better. It takes courage to wait. To be able to say, God, you know what? I trust you for all these things. And you know who was the most brave and most courageous? Who was the person most willing to wait? Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. God who sent Jesus Christ down for us. You know how he waited? And he's still waiting for many of us. 2 Peter 2, verses 8 to 9 in the New International Version, it says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God is the one who is the one who is most patient, most willing to wait for us, for you, for me, for our colleagues, for our classmates, for the people in this city, for your family members, for your friends. For whatever reason, he is the most patient one. And if we see him, we see his example, we see his love, we see his demonstration of this love. Can we find it somewhere in our daily lives to say, you know what, God, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you because I need you. Because I can't go on my own direction. I can't be doing my own agenda anymore. So that I can get a glimpse of what it's like to love people, to participate in what you're doing. Instead of complaining and worrying about, man, how overwhelming, how drained, how tired I am. You know what, God, if you give me a glimpse what it's like to wait for you, then God, I really believe you're going to renew me. You're going to renew my strength. And I'm going to be able to soar on wings like eagles. I'm going to mount on those wings. And I'm going to be able to run, not be weary. I'm going to be able to walk, not be faint. Let's look to Christ. Let's look to God for the rest of this evening and this rest of this week and say, you know what, God? I want to wait on you. I want to wait on you because, you know what, even though everything else is a whirlwind, a hurricane, a typhoon going around me, the one thing that I can do to trust in you is just to wait for you to meet me in this time. We want to practice waiting on God this evening, and so what I want us to do is a couple things. I think for many of us that have been part of our church or maybe other ministries, we're so conditioned to pray just based on different prayer requests. We're so conditioned, you know, okay, your life group leader or the pastor will say, okay, this is what you ought to pray for. You sit there, you pray for 3 minutes, and then after 3 minutes is done, you kind of die down, you wait for the next prayer request, right? But I want to challenge us as a church to be able to learn to listen to God and connect with God directly for ourselves, not be so dependent on someone else to tell you what to pray for, but to say, you know what, God, because I have a relationship with you, because I have a connection with you. Some of us, we recently invited God into our hearts, praise the Lord, right? That God can speak to us, and God is going to speak to us, and he's going to lead us in this time of prayer, whatever it is that he wants us to pray about. Or maybe he just wants us to sit there and just listen and just be open to whatever it is he wants to say. So a couple of things I want to do, and for regardless of where you are and how much you've learned how to pray or what you've done, I want us to do a couple of things to give us some structure for this. First thing I want you to do is just read and meditate on Daniel chapter 9, verses 4 to 19. I think sometimes during prayer gatherings, we use this as a reference. It's a prayer that Daniel prayed in the Old Testament to God. And the reason why we use this as a reference of prayer is because it combines all the elements of a really good prayer. It reorients your perspective not on ourselves, but on God. He exalts God. He admits his failure. He admits his sin. He recognizes God's power. He asks for help. He trusts in God. And so you can read it, meditate on it, and really use that as a framework to lead us in prayer in the right perspective. And then what I want us to do is just wait on God. Just wait. That might mean just being silent. That might mean just saying, you know what, I don't know what to do. Just reading through the verse some more, reading in different translations. It might mean starting to pray, whatever it is that God is just prompting us to do. And some of us, we say, you know what, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know what prayer really looks like. You can also use the PRAY acronym to pray, right? Very simple, P-R-A-Y. Praise, repent, repentance, ask, or yield. You can go through those four things. Praising is just saying, God, you're awesome, you're great, you're amazing, thanking him for all the good things. Repentance is confessing and saying, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Let me turn back to you. I want to live for you instead. Asking is then asking for help, asking for provision, asking for hope, praying for other people, other things. And yielding is just saying, you know what, I'm just going to just stay silent. Just wait, listen. Use that framework. If you're not really sure how to pray, you can use that framework to guide your prayers during this time. So I want to give us a good chunk of time, about at least 10, 15 minutes or so, just to reflect, just to meditate, just to kind of have that time to hear from God, and just pray on our own. And then we'll spend the rest of the time in just some worship and praying for different things in groups. So I think hospitality has some sheets. If you need sheets to reflect on, feel free to do that. If you want to do it on your own journal, your phone, whatever, go ahead and do that. Otherwise, we'll just give this time as open space for you just to meditate, listen to God, hear what it is that God wants us to hear, and we'll spend the rest of the time in prayer and reflection. So let's do that together.